Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Karen Kelski of The Professor Is In, and I just wanted to invite you, if you're a fan of our podcast, to join us on The Professor Is In premium site over on Himalaya. That's where we are able to deepen the conversation and offer you some additional resources, including the transcripts of our Facebook Lives and access to our entire corpus of webinars. And also live, you know, dialogue that's going on the social media network. So, yeah, please join us. This is a time when more conversation is generally better. More communication is generally better than less. Just download the Himalaya app and find us and subscribe.
Hi, everyone. Kel Weinhold from The Professor Is In. I am the productivity coach and the person who supports academics in their interviews, job talks, and campus visits. You can find us and engage with us in a number of platforms. TheProfessorIsIn.com, where we have a blog that takes up all manner of interesting questions about life in the academy. Our incredibly vibrant Facebook page for The Professor Is In. And Twitter, where Karen is actively chatting with people at Professor Is In, no the there because it didn't fit. And speaking of said Dr. Kelski.
Hello there. I am Dr. Karen Kelski of The Professor Is In. And indeed, I am constantly monitoring and managing all of those social media platforms and the blog. And I just want to give a shout out right now that the blog has been turned over entirely to Black voices this week, and possibly next week as well. And in response to the Black Lives Matter moment that is encompassing the country and beyond, we are doing everything we can to hashtag amplify melanated voices.
And we invite any and all Black scholars who have issues that they want to write about to get in contact. Act with us for sure. And you can do that through messaging on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, we're actively soliciting new posts. We've got quite a few already. And you know, please just send along. If you have any questions, absolutely just ask. I will answer that your questions personally about what you might want to write about or how you might want to approach it.
So today we want to talk about this moment, right? This moment in American history where a nationwide uprising is happening as a response to police brutality and expanding into a larger conversation about Black lives and how we can move toward racial justice in this country. And because we spend our time working with academics and in the academy, we want to spend a little bit of time today talking about said academy, the people in it, and the systems at work that have to be addressed and dismantled for the kind of equity that we are looking for, that we are looking for, and the people that we are committed to working with are working for. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the origin, not the origin, but just something that's been on our mind is how many folks are sharing on Facebook DM screen caps of emails that their departments are sending out at this moment. We get a lot of private messaging on Facebook and Twitter from folks who just say, hey, thought you might want to see this. And we read everything. Every single thing gets read. And so right now it's these just pitiful emails and messages that are coming out from departments, generally at the department level, I'd say, but certainly there are some from the
university
schools,
level,
colleges, and universities.
Yeah, universities are, but you know, one of the things I think is really funny about that, or funny, I mean, interesting about this is you and I recorded a podcast, I don't know, in February maybe, or about the job market. And the whole thing was aimed at departments to like do better.
Yeah.
Do better in the way you communicate. Mm-hmm. Do better in the way you lead a search. Do better. And we held it for months now because it seemed so off.
Right, because of COVID and right. then because of the, right. this moment.
So it's interesting that we've looped back around.
Oh, yeah.
To do departments.
To yelling at departments.
Started yelling at departments. But I think that that speaks to really, really big problems that need to be addressed that mm-hmm. come up in all sorts of just basic humanity. We were talking about it in the job market.
We were just saying generic pre-COVID job market. Like, could you not ghost people, please, departments? Right. Not ghost people? And then, of course, we could yell at them about COVID. And like, are you kidding me? Because we also, I have a million DMs about that.
Right.
And departments telling their faculty that what they need to be doing. And frankly, the risks they are trying to get the faculty to take, or and the students,
right.
to come back and teach in the summer and in the fall. Right. So we could be yelling about that.
Right.
But we'll hold that. Now we're yelling at them about their utterly inadequate response to Black Lives Matter.
And I don't want to start with yelling at them. I mean, I guess I want to move past yelling
Why,
at them
though?
Because so I'm really, the thing that's compelling me right at this exact moment is that as we move into the third week, what is the third week if we've ended 14 days of uprisings and confrontations with police brutality, I think we have to start having conversations about what we want to see next, and how people are even failing in this moment to even deal with the moment, mm-hmm. so we then can envision what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start off yelling at departments and white quote unquote allies, and where the mark is being totally missed or slash where you're engaging in gaslighting, so we can start to say, if it's really true that you want to do this differently, stop doing this shit and then start to imagine a different whatever.
Yeah, that's
right.
true.
All right. No. So I just wanted to start with the, you know, we could spend 30 minutes on a litany of fuck ups.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that when we were just sitting and talking about this, I think I had four sentences that of the 30 words in the sentences, you know, maybe 10 of them were not swear words.
No.
We're not just, they're fucking stupid, goddamn. Anyway,
yeah.
So I'm trying to come down off that little rage cycle to try to be a little bit more constructive.
Okay. Well, there are so many ways we can enter into this, but let me just throw one out there. Too much of the language that's being produced by departments and colleges. And when I say college, I don't mean necessarily a teaching college. I mean like the College of Arts and Sciences
right.
within a larger university. That's the way in which I'm using college and universities. Is the problem with the language is that it is weak. It is diversity and inclusion, diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. And basically this current moment has just exploded that as the bullshit that, you know, a lot of folks knew it was to begin with. I suppose we might say it's better than nothing, but there have been complaints about it for a very, very long time. And this the crisis that we're in right now, boy, do those criticisms now emerge as valid and true, because it just does not provide the language to say our institution is racist, we are racist within it, Black people and other people of color are victims.
Right.
It's just the language is not there. And in fact, when this other language, this weak milquetoast diversity and inclusion language is used, it's gaslighting.
Well, I think it also, I think it's the difference. I mean, I think, first of all, I want to bracket here that I think a lot of the work that's happened with DEI has made significant change for people. I'll take away the significant. I think it's a reform model.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you and I are talking about is a rebuild model, just destroy and rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we actually have to quit bullshitting, right? So you could... The fact that you did not figure out in this moment, here's the thing, departments, universities, The fact that you didn't figure out in this moment that your stupid "We Stand for Racial Equality" email was so off the mark is a testament to your lack of diversity in leadership, in contribution, in anything. Because if you had that diversity of voice, if you had those diversity of opinions,
if you'd been doing the work all along, even the white folks had been doing the work.
But if you would just, if you're saying we're devoted to X, Y, or Z, and your deans are all predominantly white, and your faculty is predominantly white, right, and you name it.
And you haven't allowed Black people to occupy significant positions to challenge this, your modus operandi and everything, your way, norms of thinking and writing and speaking.
Well, and I'm going to just parse that sentence that you said right there, right? Because I think this is what departments
think. Well, maybe, can you finish? Because we left, this is totally hanging. If you, then.
Then you're going to, because if you sent those out, it's a testament to the fact that you haven't been doing it. Mm-hmm. It's a testament that your whole DEI shit was just that, bullshit. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to this sentence that you said, because I think it so encapsulates a department. Mm-hmm. Is you haven't allowed them. Mm-hmm. You have not dismantled your system to include, right? You're still operating from this model of we need to make space.
Right.
Of like, we are still going to remain in power, right, but we're going to allow you to be here, right? So I think that on the basic level of you starting to look in the mirror, department heads, and say, I didn't know how to write this thing. I was terrified to write this thing. I wrote this milquetoast thing. I got some approval from some people who also read it, who are also the same rank, who've been around here for God knows how long. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel really good about that statement. Really? Because you know what I'd feel really good about? Is if you didn't write the, we care about this, when you have no freaking evidence.
When you have no evidence. I mean, that's the, so there's really two levels here. The first one is that I'm saying the language is pitiful.
Right.
But deeper than the language, more problematic than the language. In fact, it'd be okay. It would be less terrible if you sent out a bad email, but you had concrete actions behind that email.
And I don't think it's possible to send out the bad email if you've had the concrete actions. Because you've actually been in a dialogue.
Perhaps, yes. Except that I'm thinking the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing or something like that. But whatever.
I'm still going to go for the radical idea that if we were really doing it.
I'm not arguing with you.
You are arguing.
I am not arguing with you. All I'm trying to
say is an argument right now. What part of this are you not understanding?
All I'm saying is that the second tier of problem here is, setting language aside, is that nothing is backed up with action. And people, and all it does is dig. Well, what's the phrase I want to use? It digs like your hole deeper. It wounds people more.
Oh my God.
It damages people more. What infuriates people, harms people.
I think that's where the fury comes from.
That's what I'm trying to say is, you know, Black students who are sitting in this crisis, lives are on the line, people are being killed and gassed, and lives are being destroyed. And then they hear you say, we care about equity and inclusion.
And you know, I would love to see emails go out and say, we took a long, hard look in the mirror. We did an assessment of what we're offering. We did an assessment of the feedback and complaints we've had for the last 10 years. And we fucked up.
Yeah. Imagine
that. We have used our positions to be indifferent. We have decided it wasn't valuable. We have fucked up. And we're not going to do a whole workshop. Everybody's going to take a workshop together. We're not going to do any of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to take this stunning amounts of money we spend on administration, and we're going to take away you 10 people, and we're going to put 10 people in who are going to diversify this today, because this is a crisis that we've ignored because privilege has allowed us to do it.
Yeah. And on
that's
that
the kind
note,
of email I'd like to
that's
see.
That's the kind of email I'd like to see. And let me just give a little shout out, because this is another one of our episodes. It's going to be speed produced and speed uploaded. Yeah, thank you, production team. I believe it's going to go up before the strike for Black Lives on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it'll go up tomorrow, which is Tuesday.
Because we're recording on Monday. It should go up Tuesday. So there's still time for listeners to know that there's been a call for Strike for Black Lives and shut down STEM, shut down academia. You can do something. And guess what one of the things is you can do? You can do a... hitting our recording equipment now. You can do what Kel just said, which is, you know, write some new verbiage. If you're an administrator that says, we fucked up, we apologize. That's, you know, that's one thing white people can't do.
Yeah, we're not really good at
it. Well, we're not. I mean, we could get into a whole thing about like general apologies, but let's just limit the thing about on racism points. That's really where you stepped into a discussion about race and you fucked up.
And it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Do you understand that? It is going to happen. It's probably going to happen on a virtually daily basis. The deeper you get into the work, the more likelihood there is of mistakes happening because you have put yourself out there into different kind of engagements and not knowing exactly how to do it right because there isn't really, you know, we are not trained to do this work as white people growing up thinking that our opinions are the be-all and end-all of all opinions and everybody should always listen to us and our feelings count for everything. Anyway, all the time. So we're really bad at this. But the point is, now I completely lost my thread. What was it? Because that was another digression. But basically,
you were talking about the strike for Black Lives.
Yeah, the strike for Black Lives.
And you could you could be doing concrete work.
You could take Wednesday, do concrete work.
You can say, and okay, this is going to go off in a thing, but I want to talk about the strike for Black Lives because this is the perfect place where we put where we can talk about moving from the department level to the people within the department level, the faculty within the department level, that we put a post up about the strike for Black Lives.
On Facebook.
And immediately got a whole bunch of people coming in, white women coming in.
First response,
doesn't seem like
woman.
A good idea.
Second response, white woman. White man.
Right. This is, what's a strike mean in the summer?
Yeah, the strike doesn't mean
What am I supposed to strike myself? Now here's
I'm too busy just trying to deal with my students. I can't possibly do anything else. And it's like you are all white. You all felt like you had to weigh in on this.
Right.
Really?
Well, and you didn't read the post that says think about it this way. The second thing is you immediately thought, I know what should be done. Here, let me give you my authority.
Right.
And then did not take the time, which is the first thing that Black activists have been asking us, stop and listen, stop and learn, stop and listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the strike right there. Stop and learn.
Yeah.
Stop and listen. What if you said tomorrow, if you heard this podcast on when it comes out on Tuesday, I'm not working tomorrow. Sorry, my classes are canceled or I don't have any. My classes are over and I had planned to work on my article or whatever. I'm not working tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I am not supporting the university tomorrow.
Or my own career aspirations.
Career aspirations. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and buy a copy of Me and White Supremacy on Kindle. And I'm going to spend my entire day reading that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend my
time. I'm
going to
watch 13. I'm going to watch I Am Not Your Negro. And those are important. I just want to make sure that we do point out that I think perhaps there's a wish that it's a little bit more of a communal, like a group thing, less individual things, although those are great, but also like something to affect change in your actual department.
Because they're very clear, like, we don't want you to just sit here and read this. Mm-hmm. We don't want another DEI thing. Mm-hmm. We want you to do something.
Right.
So if you don't feel like you have the language and the stuff that the sort of ability to sit down and articulate, hey, this is why it's a problem, then spend the first half of the day studying and the second half of the day writing your statement.
Yeah.
So make sure that some kind of action forward happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that the request from that is really based in this analysis paralysis, this reading, this I'm too afraid to do anything. Mm-hmm. And the call is stop. Figure something out together with other white people and do it and give us a freaking break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And immediately it's like, well, I don't think that's a good idea. What about this? Well, what do they want us to do? Well, what do we,
so in the reaction to the call for the strike, we are reproducing the conditions that required the strike.
Right.
Which is Black people are exhausted. This whole entire burden of this is on their shoulders. And white people are just sitting on the sidelines, doing nothing, doing not enough, being too fearful to take the risk, and then complaining about the way that Black folks have been trying to reach their goals.
And I just want to say that I think that's the other part where we struggle as white people in this search, is that we are in this commitment, is that we see people doing stuff and they seem to have read things. We see other white people doing things and they've read things and they're articulating things that are kind of blowing our minds. And I think for academics who are very used to being right, who are very used to getting an A+, who are very conflict averse, and
experts in their field.
Experts in their field. And then on top of that, a culture where you can get people pissed at you right in your face very quickly on social media, that it freezes people into inaction.
For sure.
And I think that that's one of the things to really consider as a white accomplice or co-conspirator, is to say, where am I being frozen into inaction, and where can I devote this day to acting, to moving forward, wherever you are in that, right? And I think a lot of times people say, well, I can hear all of the justifications. I'm not, it's summer. I'm not talking to my department. Stop. Just ask yourself right now, where have I not acted out of fear? It's not my thing, whatever it is. And just act toward change.
And I want to drill down into that fear thing. And it's been very much on my mind this week and last week, because Kel, you have been on an active anti-racist learning journey since 1980. Mm-hmm. I have been on an active anti-racist learning journey since 1990. And that there's been ups and downs and this, you know, and ins and outs. And,
and buckets of errors.
Buckets of errors. Buckets,
buckets
of shame.
Buckets of shame. Buckets of missteps.
What we've done wrong. But the thing about having years go by of attempts to walk that path is that you find yourself in a lot of conversations with other white people. And those conversations for me have really escalated in the last 2 weeks, because now all of a sudden lots and lots of white people who have never really publicly or, you know, addressed these issues before are really good-hearted, good-natured, good-intentioned white people are attempting to do the right thing. And so then we find ourselves in conversations. And the fact is that when you point out to another white person that something they did or said was a classic example of white fragility, of white defensiveness, of white evasiveness, of white nonsense, of white bullshit. I mean, but you don't have to use those words. You don't have to.
Just nice
you don't
words.
Have to come in, you know, guns blazing. You can come in gently if you want to. I mean, depending on your relationship. And people have to really understand is that in virtually 0% of cases, is the response, wow, thank you so much.
Right.
That was so, oh, I really appreciate that. Wow, I was wrong. Wow, I see. I was behaving just like a regular defensive white person right there. Yeah, I'm really glad you did that, Karen. Thank you. No, zero. I would say 0% of cases.
Well, okay, so let's take it out of this hyper positive, like, oh, thank you, and just simply, wow. I'll look at that. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, that is what, like 2% of cases?
Right. And so I'm just saying that
so we have
you gave an extreme
98% of cases, the white folks that you approach as a fellow white person trying to do this work are going to be mad. They're going to be defensive, upset. They're going to feel betrayed.
I tried.
They're going to do a whole bunch of very predictable maneuvers. The I tried. The, oh, I see. I'm white, so nothing works. There's nothing I can say. That's classic. Or if they're going to be like that, then they're just going to lose allies. Another predictable response. And, you know, I guess I could go through 10 more. But in any case, these are all, and everybody thinks they're super original in the moment. And literally, Robin DiAngelo made a list of them. There's about 15. And pretty much they're all, everything that you're going to say is going to be one of those 15. But I'm bringing this up because I feel like it's really important that white folks understand because they're so scared to do it in the first place. Then they do it and they get we do it and we get, and right now I'm speaking of pushback from other white folks. I'm not speaking right now about pushback from black folks. I'm talking about pushback from white folks.
But I'm just saying we.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And we approach other white folks. We try to tell them something. We get blasted. And we think, and I think, and I'm building, what I'm doing is I'm building on your view of academics. And what academics are like is, oh, shit, I did it wrong. Oh, shit, I was caught out in a mistake. Oh, shit, I have lost a valuable relationship, or I've damaged or threatened a valuable relationship, and this big shame cycle and this big fear cycle. And so I am spending all this time right now because I'm telling you, just because you get a defensive or a hostile response from a fellow white person does not mean you did anything wrong. It means you probably did something very, very right. The one question is learning to, you know, I mean, I suck at
modulation.
Yeah. I'm like, you fucking idiot. No, you know, I try not to do that anymore, but you know, but modulation. Yeah, we're all on a path to learn to do it effectively. But I will tell you, even the most lovely, modulated, sweet natured approach is probably still going to get a blast, defensive blast response.
Right. And that gets back to that. We can go back to the departments. We can talk about people in the departments. We can talk about all those things. But that gets back to that lack of hard look, that lack of saying, where have I done this? And sitting with that horrible feeling, mm-hmm. where have I benefited from this? Mm-hmm. Where have I been complicit with my silence? Where have those happened? And looking at those and so if someone points out something to you, if you have this big well of unexamined stuff, it's going to poke that in a hard way. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be like, oh, no, 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 no. When you've looked at it and have some accountability and some compassion and some, wow, look at what I did there. I would like to never do that again. I would like to never have this feeling again.
Yes.
I need to figure out a new path so I don't have to feel like I've been complicit in something that I really don't support.
And we hope come around get at the end of that, say, thank you, fellow white person, for taking a moment to tell me that thing.
Well, and I think in the gaslighting realm that we were talking about, that we sort of briefly touched on, how we then do that in gaslighting people of color when they've brought the issue.
Yeah.
When they've said, this seems about discrimination, this seems about, and it was, oh, you know, it's not that, oh, you know, he's, oh, mm-hmm. this, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So really looking at where mm-hmm. we've done all that. But I just want to,
we can't even be an ally to a accomplice with black people and people of color if we can't even hear it from each other.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah. I'm hearing you. Like, just look at this.
Yeah. Okay.
But and at the same time, I just want to say, it's been not that long ago, within the last few years, first of all, there have been conversations about what really is an apology.
Mm-hmm.
And that when I came to understand how I have for decades failed to actually apologize, that there's actually a structure of an apology, a structure of an appropriate apology.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I get this right, is I hear what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why that is harmful.
Mm-hmm.
I will not do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Notice, folks, how you want to insert in there, I heard you, but I didn't really mean to do it, and you really should see mm-hmm. all the work that I've did.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched somebody do that on Instagram, and I'm having a conversation with him right now about the white apology, which is I'm going to try to prove to you that I'm the good white person, uh-huh. and how we have that instinct, like, no, I'm not. And I
just fought a mighty battle with that just last night.
Well, but to me,
myself, by the way.
Right,
with
yourself. That you wanted to jump in.
Oh, because I had to write an apology last night. I had to write an apology on Twitter. I did. I screwed something up badly. I screwed up that I was, what? Oh, by the way. Oh, this is a great moment. I wanted to be sure to do this in this episode, and now I can. Please, 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 everybody listening, go and check the hashtag on Twitter, Black in the ivory, black in the ivory.
Yeah.
That was just created about 24 hours ago. I think maybe Sunday night, Monday. What are we at right now? Anyway, we're on Monday, so it was Sunday. It was created on Sunday.
Well, Sunday.
And it just wow, it's exploded. And it is basically black folks talking about the abuse and
just the experience of being a black academic in the ivory
black
tower,
which is, you know, basically abuse and racism. Anyway, it's an amazing hashtag. So you know, you had just said, hey, you just texted me and said, hey, you should check out this hashtag. And I was just in the process of writing up a tweet, and so I just threw the hashtag into the tweet, and having like briefly skimmed it, and I was like, oh yeah, I see, and like read one or two tweets, and then popped back over, finished my tweet, and put up my tweet. And
someone rightfully.
I'm trying to remember. Now I blanked out on what my tweet was. What was my tweet?
Well, you were promoting are looking for the voices of black academics to write.
I was seeking, soliciting guest posts from
a white perspective.
Yeah,
it made perfect sense.
And I popped that in.
Unexamined white perspective.
Yeah. And then one of the creators of Black in the Ivory, Joy Melody Woods, and the other founder is Dr. Sharday Davis. She tweeted back at me and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you trying to do black like trauma porn for your opportunity? It seems opportunistic. Why are you collecting these stories?" And I responded first that, we actually have run a Women of Color Wednesday series for 2 years, and it was just more in that vein. And she said, okay, I hear that, but, and she came back and said a version of a similar thing. And I was sitting there thinking, and you know, it took a lot of mental gymnastics for me to suddenly realize, oh shit, it wasn't the issue of calling for guest posts. It was the issue of calling for guest posts using the hashtag.
Right, right. Basically,
as a
taking
white woman.
Right, like I'm going to just co-opt your hashtag.
Right. What? And you know what? It took me like 10 minutes of thinking just to get from, oh, the issue is not I'm calling for guest posts. The issue is I called for them using that hashtag. The issue is I use
right,
the hashtag.
White women co-opting shit again.
Yeah, again. Again. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I did that thing. So I was like, immediately, the minute I saw it, I was like, fuck, I have to write an apology. So I start writing an apology. I cannot tell you how many drafts of that apology had. Well, you see what I thought, and then see, Cal texted me, and then I had, and then I read it, but I didn't really read a lot of it. But now I see, oh my God, it took so long. Except I didn't want to let it take long because I feel that quickness is very important on Twitter, and that it's very important that if you fuck up, especially on Twitter, which moves very quickly, you should apologize quickly. So I didn't allow it to go on for long, but I probably took out three different versions of self-excuse and self-justification.
Right. And said, and ultimately ended up with, I screwed up. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically, I mean, this was mind-blowing to me in relationship with people.
Mm-hmm.
In basic relationship, that someone calls you on something that hurts their feelings, that your first job is to turn your eyes to understand why they experienced it that way. Not to justify why you did it or how you didn't mean it or whatever it is, but wait a minute. Okay, first, I'm sorry. Second, I see why. And not just, I see why this might have hurt you, which is just blah, 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 blah. But I can understand how my use of this thing is, you know, I'm talking about in-person ones, not 280 characters, but I can understand how my use of this is this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anytime it's an interaction where people of color have had to devote their emotional labor to educating us, that the last sentence is, I am sorry that you had to expend that labor to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't add that.
So I think that it's, in some ways, we have to go back and learn how to apologize, like simply learn how to apologize.
Yeah.
And there's a whole book out called Why We Don't Apologize.
Oh,
it's a whole phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, you know, one very impactful tweet that I screen capped and shared on, I shared it on my personal page, not Professor Zinn, just said from a black person on Twitter said, white people, colon, learn how to apologize, learn how to apologize, learn how to apologize. It said it 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that, it said, without explanation or justification.
Right. Just learn how to apologize.
And that was, you know.
And I will tell you.
That's an ongoing learning.
Well, I think it's transformative for relationship. Mm-hmm. I want to just encourage you all to walk out there. And when somebody says, hey, that hurt my feelings, or hey, I don't like that, you're that the order of it is, I'm sorry. I can see why that would have done that. I won't do that again. It's that simple. And so. And the other thing I want, I guess what I want to make clear is that when you do that, you absolutely remove gaslighting. When you own up in that second thing to, I can see how our persistent ignoring of your issues has caused you significant pain, and we will not allow that to continue. Imagine mm-hmm. an email from a department that said, mm-hmm. Black scholars, we are sorry. We have not done mm-hmm. what you have asked us to do. Mm-hmm. We can now see with new eyes through this uprising mm-hmm. the harm we have caused.
Yeah.
And we will do better. Mm-hmm. And I am sorry that you had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, can you, I can't even imagine opening an email from one of these institutions. And I think there have been like 3 corporations of all of them. They're like, and a bunch of them have said, no, mm-hmm. nope. Yeah. We would not be here without you.
Yeah, we would not be here without you.
And we will, you know.
Although here's, that then brings up the NFL, and then I get
anxious
about that. But anyway, I don't want to go in that direction.
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
And Adidas. Adidas came out and said, we wouldn't be here without black athletes,
mm-hmm,
period.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and then, you know, the story that I heard department that got a complaint from a group of grad students about their silence, which, by the way, we started out, this whole premise of this whole podcast episode has been the emails that have come out. But honestly, silence has been worse.
Oh, my goodness.
It has
yes.
been worse, and we haven't talked about that.
But we do have a blog post.
I'm hearing more conversations about silence than I am about bad emails, honestly.
Right.
And so anyway, there was total silence. Some black students wrote to the department head and said, you know, this is really hurtful, and something, something, something. I don't know what they wrote. And the department head turned around and used their complaint.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter. I'm sorry, I can't cite that source.
As the message.
Right.
So basically recycled.
We wrote an email and they recycled it as their statement.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. Seriously? I'm just going to go back to the way we started this. Could departments?
Yeah.
Could you get some? I mean, if you did, if you were as devoted to diversity as your stupid statements say.
And your stupid website.
If you actually.
With all those stock photos.
If you actually were as devoted to that, these emails would not be so horrible or not mentioned at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wouldn't be silence or stupid.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the silence is doing massive harm.
Oh, my God. Is
so
it
much harm.
So much harm. And we and, don't, if and people are like, I'm afraid to say anything.
My PI,
people.
Or, you know, are the PIs, the advisors, the committee members, the faculty in general, the department heads specifically, the deans, the chancellors, the provost, the chancellors, the whole nine yards. The silence is deafening and it is inexcusable. Why are you laughing?
I was just thinking about the PIs arguing for how we have to take care of students of color, black students, so they can get back to their research. It's like, really, is that why?
Well, then there's that.
Right? Is that why? Because I didn't think that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we kind of have to wrap up because this is...
No, I've just gotten started, but okay.
Well, the last several weeks we've blown past our 30-minute podcast thing in a big way, and we're asking production to do this really quickly. So here's the thing. Stop, 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 stop. Listen to what's going on around you. Amplify, amplify, amplify voices that are not yours. Amplify black voices and admit that you didn't do it. Resist the desire to say, but I have done it. I'm just, I mean, okay, great. I just want to say one last thing. I thought of this, about this in terms of that apology thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if your partner comes to you and says, you know, that thing you said to me this morning really hurt my feelings. Okay. Sorry. But you know, I didn't hurt your feelings those 5 days before. I hope you remember that I didn't hurt your feelings those 5 days before.
I mean, also, that gets us into Black Lives Matter, is like versus All Lives Matter, right. And it's like just because of Black Lives Matter, you know,
right? My house is on fire. Yeah, but what about my house? Your house isn't on fire. Right. Come on. All right. Anyway, we're asking you to just stop, and we're asking you to make concrete commitments. Stop trying to get out of it. Stop trying to say it's not me. Stop telling people what it could, white people, stop telling Black people what they should be doing to get you to buy in, and just
stop inserting your own view of what racism is and how it's best dealt with.
Right. And just do it.
Or as Nike says in their ad they pushed out just this for this moment, just don't do it. That's the amazing thing. Just don't do it. Just don't talk.
Right.
Just don't push yourself forward. Just don't, you know.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.